So cyclists call it a punishment pass, and that's when a driver comes far too close when sweeping past a rider. From today, drivers in the Republic are facing heavier fines for the offence of dangerously overtaking a cyclist. Now, that penalty will go up from €80 to €120, and you'll also get 3 penalty points. So should we follow suit here? On the line, we have commentator and cyclist Malachy O'Doherty. Good morning to you, Malachy.
Morning, Vinny.
And the taxi driver and commentator, Ken Kelly. Good morning to you, Ken.
Morning, Vinny.
Malachy, where has this negative relationship between cyclists and drivers come from?
What negative relationship?
Well,
I don't have a negative either.
I think there's a perceived negative relationship, and we've talked about it many times on this programme, whereas a lot of drivers, for example, get very, very frustrated with cyclists and vice versa.
Well, it's true that there are cyclists who are reckless on the road. It's true that there, you know, and it's true that there are drivers who are very reckless in their overtaking of cyclists. There's no kind of moral category that is better than the other, you know. So that, let's put that to rest. I mean, I very often see cyclists behaving in a manner which I would not behave in myself, and which I think puts themselves at risk and puts me at risk. That's part of the ordinary experience out there, because getting on a bike doesn't make you a better person. You know, it makes you a fitter person. It maybe makes you a happier person, because it's a more playful experience than driving a car. It makes you a more contented person, usually, because it gets you to your destination faster than sitting in a big gas car.
You've been cycling for years. So have you had any close shaves on the road when it comes to cycling?
Yeah, a few. I mean, there was one time just outside the BBC, you know, and fortunately I was going quite slow, but it was on Ormo Avenue, and a taxi pulled up, you know, not at the curb, but out from the curb. So, you know, in the what would you would think of as the overtaking space. And I was coming up on the inside. This taxi just stopped alongside me, and it was a passenger. It wasn't the driver. It was a passenger in the rear seat. Opened the door and clipped me, and I went over. I wasn't too badly hurt. I got a bruise in my arm, and we got up, and the driver apologized. The passenger looked quite shamefaced about it. I wasn't seriously hurt. We let it go. And that was it. There was, to be honest, there was another incident which would be maybe even partly my own fault, I would say, where basically a car turned to go right in front of me, and I went into the car and I flipped over, and it was one of those funny experiences where one minute you're in the air and the next minute you're on the ground and you don't actually.
So the car went to turn right, and so who was at fault there? Was it you or the driver?
I was at fault as well. I think that we were both at fault, because it was on a lane which was arrowed towards a different direction, if you like, if you know what I mean. It was on Bruce Street. So we neither of us really should have been in the lane at that point.
In terms of these punishment passes, that's just one example of, I guess, how sometimes drivers can be inconsiderate towards cyclists. You're in favour of fining and indeed imposing points on people to try and, I guess, teach them a lesson.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and only to teach them a lesson, not to get any kind of satisfaction out of giving them a hard time. Not because we're framing a war between cyclists and drivers. I'm a driver. I drive a car as well. And when I'm out driving my car, I suppose I am a lot more conscious of the vulnerability of cyclists because I cycle as well. So, I mean, I've been in situations in the car, you know, where the person beside me will say, oh, go on, overtake them now. You know, it's clear. And what they mean is, if you squeeze past that cyclist, you know, and just don't scrape them, don't brush their leg, there's enough room, and I will hold back, and I'll say, no, there isn't enough space there. So I think being a cyclist and a driver gives you a consciousness of both sides of the experience.
Okay.
But I do think it's really, really important.
Ken Kelly, fines to teach people a lesson, Ken, because quite often we can be told how to behave, but until it hits you in the pocket, you might not pay that much attention.
I don't agree. Most professional drivers are paying through the pocket, especially taxi drivers, between £2,500 and £3,000 a year insurance. So the last thing they want to do is have any form of contact or entanglement with cyclists. I come from a background of being on motorbikes, So I'm very aware of a two-wheel transportation. The problem I would see certainly is how do you evidence that the driver was too close? That is to say, if I'm going down a road in the town, such as today, in the inside where you've got flooding, it's against the highway code to, and I think it's possibly even a fine, to splash someone by driving through a puddle.
Yes.
A cyclist on the outside, I move away from the puddle. I get a wee bit close to the cyclist. Which one are you going to fine me for?
So I guess what you're saying is this will be really difficult to police. That's a fair point, Malachy.
Well, the police themselves are recommending that cyclists wear cameras on their bike. And I was at an event it was about 2 years ago now, organised by a cycling action group. And a PSNI officer came along and addressed us and gave us guidance on how to protect ourselves. And the guidance included the idea of having a camera on the rear of your bike, and he actually recommended a model which incorporates the rear light, which would, is continuously filming the car coming behind you, and that's the one that you're going to worry about. And also, at the same time, suggesting that you would wear a sticker on your jacket or in your pannier bag, which would warn the driver that you are filming, so that you're not there to catch them out, you're there to notify them that they're being filmed.
You're trying to warn them off, but you're basically saying then you're trying to warn them off behaving badly, so trying to pass without due care and attention if you're saying, like, I'm filming you, so behave yourself.
But that's uncorroborated evidence from one individual.
Well, maybe it is, but if the police themselves are coming to me and saying, look, here's a good idea, Malachy, do this, and you might be safer.
Okay. 80-55-55. What do you think at home this morning? Is it time to start fining and introducing those 3 points to your licence if you are caught doing something in relation to cyclists trying to pass too closely? Or do you think that maybe there should be more regulations pushed towards cyclists in terms of insurance, lights, testing, etc.? Let's go to Mark in Newton Abbey. Good morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Billy. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Go ahead.
Billy, I'm a driver myself. I drive trucks, the easiest way to run a cyclist is to give them plenty of room. At the end of the day, this guy, this girl's on a bike, but only on two wheels. They're wearing a stupid helmet on their head that wouldn't save them from anything. Give them plenty of leeway, give them plenty of room, and you'll say, well, thank you for it.
Of course, helmets are effective, we know that to an extent. But Mark, you make it sound very simple. I have seen people pass cyclists very closely. Like, they could literally reach out the window and touch them. Everyone knows to give enough space, but not everyone does it.
That's what I'm saying, Billy. And the biggest problem is there too. You're not supposed to use a mobile phone in the car, but I'll tell you what, Finny, I pass a lot. Every second car I pass, if I'm in a truck, I can look in. There are see people in the car, there see people on the mobiles, and that's including the driver. They need to clamp down these things big time, all over. And cyclists say they're on a bike. I'm a motorbiker myself, and when I'm on the motorbike, I like to see a guy pass me and give me a bit of clearance. That guy or that girl is on a bike, and that's, if you're passing them on a truck or in a car, even the wind hits them and throws them off there. Cyclists will do stupid things, but at the end of the day, motorists will also do stupid things. So we have to watch out these people on two wheels and keep an eye on them and give them plenty of room. And the ones that do stupid things, that's their own tough problem. If they pull out in front of a car, they're just being stupid at the end of the day,
Okay.
But I think plenty of what you want to do is show is on mobile phones. See, mobile phones, that's the biggest danger on our road today. Everybody's on a mobile phone in the car.
When you say you see them on it, are you saying they're talking into the handset, they're texting?
Yes, texting. Every car you see, you look in, there's someone on a mobile phone. It's unbelievable, the cars, the amount of people. But don't give two damns now. It's just a disgrace.
That perception. I'm not sure they don't give a damn, but they maybe think, things like that happen to other people. I not have an accident, I'm paying enough attention. I think that's the thought process that goes through some people's heads, which is, definitely not saying that's the right thought process to have.
If they're on the mobile phone, don't give a damn.
Okay. Mark, thank you. Ken Kelly, can I just get your thoughts on this? The PSNI have been carrying out some plainclothes operations to identify drivers who pass too closely to cyclists. So they say that we are currently evaluating a series of pilot close pass operations which involve police officers in plain clothes on unmarked bicycles equipped with cameras supported by police motorcycles to identify drivers who don't give cyclists enough room when they pass.
I think if you're a professional motorist, like the lorry driver was a professional driver, commented to, it'll not affect the professional driver such as myself or that lorry driver. The fact of the matter is, he came from a motorbike background as well.
Why would it not affect a professional driver?
As a professional, I would be avoiding two-wheel traffic, as giving them plenty of room and plenty of space, because they are a threat to me and my livelihood, my insurance, and my future.
They could say the same about you.
I find a lot of cyclists would say that it's taxi drivers they worry about most, you know? I mean, the incident I described in Armagh Avenue was a taxi, and
yeah, but you admitted yourself that wasn't the taxi driver, Malachy. It was the passenger.
I mean, he shouldn't have stopped where he stopped. It wasn't he who opened the door, but he stopped where he stopped. And I have been in situations where a car is shaved quite close to me, you know, where you would feel the breeze of it against your leg. And I haven't done the statistical research. What do I know about whether it's mostly taxi drivers? But it has certainly been occasionally taxi drivers. And if you talk to other cyclists, their greater anxiety seems to be about taxi drivers.
Because they would be the ones, Malachy, in the city, would be stopping and starting, letting people in and letting out, more so than an ordinary motorist, in fairness.
Yeah.
Now,
definitely.
Now, with the amount of taxis on the road, the pressure's on. How, for example, does a taxi stop at the Europa now with the bus lane, because he can't stop anywhere? So the whole thing is very hard. It gets more like a vendetta against taxi drivers. You could get paranoid and say the bylaws, traffic laws are all ganging up on taxi drivers, if you're paranoid.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Michael in Coleraine. Good morning, Michael.
Hi, Vinny.
Go ahead.
We get it all the time, so we do when we're out on the road.
You're a cyclist or a motorist?
I'm a cyclist and a motorist, so it would be. But, I was on a roundabout in Coleraine a couple of weeks ago at the Strand Road roundabout, and a car came out and caught me. So the guy, he did stop, said he didn't see me, but people do not pay enough attention to cyclists, you know.
And when you say he caught you, did he clip you and did he knock you off your bike?
He made contact with me, only I seen him. I thought he was coming at me at the last minute, and I straightened up as I was changing from one lane to another, and I just managed to glance off him and virtually landed on his bonnet, or stopped on his bonnet. If he hadn't stopped, he probably would have been probably up over the top of the car. But anyway, I didn't get any damage. I didn't suffer any damage, luckily enough. But, you know, just previous to that, there were two or three cars that passed us on the road. And if I'd have put my arm out, they probably would have hit their dormer. So, those are the more dangerous items too, because you hit a pothole or something on a road bike, you can bounce out so you can or anything like that. This law needs to be brought in here as well.
So you would bring in the law, bring in the fine, bring in the points, 3 points, 120. Well, that's 120 euro in the Republic. Something similar here, Michael?
Cyclists are vulnerable on the road. Like, you know, a car hits us, we have no chance. So we haven't. We're fine.
Okay. Michael, thank you. I do wonder how we measure up in terms of that relationship between cyclists and motorists compared to other countries. John in Lisburn. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning. One of the observations I'd like to make is, essentially, I think we're sort of talking this around the point. We're never going to resolve this issue of the relationship between cyclists and motorists unless and until we actually recognise there's a need to separate them on the roads. I'm just back with some friends from the Netherlands. Now, 30 or 40 years ago, they had the highest incidence of road accidents, head injuries in Europe. They then made a positive decision to actually rebuild their infrastructure. You want to know about this? There's a wonderful little video documentary by Chris Boardman, the professional cyclist, where he shows the process, how that emerged from the bottom of the league tables or the top of the league tables for injuries to the bottom of the league tables. I didn't see one single late middle-aged or elderly man in Lycra, thank goodness, and I didn't see a single helmet.
What is wrong with a middle-aged man in Lycra being on a bicycle?
Middle-aged man in Lycra is, ultimately, that is something that's definitely punishable by a fine.
Well, Marky, that's you. I don't know what age you are, but I assume that's your age.
Well, I'm 68 years old, so I don't think I qualify as a middle-aged anymore.
As much as you like, the reality is, if you were living in the Netherlands and cycling, it would be a pleasure. Cycling in this country is not a pleasure. And that's because government and local government made a decision to actually reduce the number of deaths and injuries on the roads and therefore save a huge amount of money and put that money into proper infrastructure. I was a passenger in a car stuck in traffic on a miserable road in Northern Ireland at the moment, simply because we don't look after our roads, we don't build them properly. And you can talk around this subject day in, day out, and you can fine everybody. There won't be the enforcement anyhow. You'll catch a few people, but it really will have no impact whatsoever.
So what do we do then, John?
Maliki, take the phenomenon now we have is much, much more dangerous than motorists and cyclists, and that is the pavement cyclist. The pavement cyclist is someone who's been forced off the road, understandably so, onto the pavement, and is now a greater threat to his own life and limb and the life and limb of pedestrians.
If you make the road safer, then people can come off the pavement and use the road. Now, you do that either by cycle lanes, but you can do it also by being very, very strict with motorists and, you know, absolutely force them to give space to cyclists. And I mean, the future is
to enforce this. Show me where the manpower is, the woman power is to enforce it.
I think the idea of cyclists having cameras to gather evidence and strict rules on overtaking would actually produce quite a lot of prosecutions very quickly.
I suggest get on a flight to Ski Call, go and watch the situation there for 2 or 3 days and observe the reality. People enjoying their cycling, no helmets, cycling at a proper speed.
There is another element to this, John.
The only way forward in city centres.
You talk about the infrastructure. For example, there's a road between Antrim and Randallstown that I drive on quite often. It has a cycle lane the whole way along it. And quite often when I'm on it, cyclists are not using that lane. They're either on the footpath or they're in the road. So there is always there's an onus on cyclists as well to use facilities that are there if it's a cycle lane, if it's available, and not just to do what they feel like doing. Let's go to Tom next in Ballymoney. Tom, good morning to you.
Good morning, what's crack? So I had a wee chuckle there when I was on hold there for Maliki saying about the cameras.
Yes.
I used to cycle in Belfast and I had 3 cameras on.
On your bike?
On the bike. Okay. One in the front, one in the back, and one which is a fantastic pair of glasses that you wore on the camera.
Like Google Gadget on your bike?
I'm telling you, it was great crack. But I had people cut me up, people made contact with me with their car, and it was all caught on camera, on CCTV.
Yes.
And I went to the police, and their attitude was like, oh, okay, right. I was like, look, I have CCTV, I have a picture of the vehicle, of the registration, I have a picture of the driver. And they're like, well, you realise if you want us to prosecute, you're going to have to go to court. Are you prepared for that? And I went, yep, prepared to go to court. Let's go. And there was just no passion in the police to do that. They
well,
have
did,
far more
did it go to court?
To
did
do.
You?
No, they didn't. They said, oh, we just spoke to the driver and they didn't see you. I'm going, really?
Well, I don't know anything about that, aside from you. We need to probably go to the PSNI on that particular case, Tom, to see what they have to say on it.
That's regular. There's
yeah.
No,
and how often, you're a regular cyclist, how often do you have those near misses?
In Belfast, quite regularly, because we don't have proper cycle lanes. You have a wee strip of painted rubbish on the road. You don't have a proper cycle lane. The specialised to go down like Castleway Road and all that crack, and it was just potholes. You had to keep out buses as well. You're just scared stiff. I'm going to come off here.
I always did wonder, Tom, when it comes to putting cyclists in the same lane as a bus, purely because buses are so huge.
Bus would be right up your backside, you know, and again, it's all on camera. And the only thing I'd say is, unless people start sticking it up online and going, look, this is what's going on, you know, to raise awareness of the actual problem around Belfast and around Corrine or whatever. I see it all the time. And people don't give cyclists enough space.
Stay there for a moment, Tom, if you can. Patrick's on the line. Patrick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Philly.
You want cyclists to get insurance for their bikes.
And I want to say something else too. A lot of cyclists here are jaywalkers on wheels because they ignore every traffic rule in the book. They come up and side you at traffic lights, go up on the footpath, across the zebra crossing, and away they go. And I say, I've been driving since 1974, and my insurance has gone up every year. Cyclists should be insured, at least, to be on the same roads. And I'll tell you why. A friend of mine had a car scraped by a cyclist. Right up the car, cost him £400 to get fixed.
Yes, but
he had a claim out of his own insurance.
Yeah,
cyclists don't need insurance.
Well, Tom, what do you make of that? Other people will make that same point in terms of insurance and the fact that some cyclists, they like to stick with the rules of the road sometimes, and sometimes they'll go through red lights over zebra crossings, do what they want.
Okay, cars do the exact same thing, and yes, they're insured, blah, blah, blah. But do we want to start insuring pedestrians? So if you get some idiot pedestrian running across traffic lights when they're meant to wait, do we start putting number plates on the back of cyclists or back of pedestrians when they're idiots as well? You know,
that's a stupid idea.
How are you going to do it? What are you going to do? How are you going to stop it? How are you going to report it? How are you going to put a number plate in the back of a bicycle?
And why not?
Why not?
How are you going to police it? How can you police it? Our police service are underfunded. They're undermanned, whatever the politically correct comment is to make, and they have enough to be doing. You know, they have proper terrorism to look after. And yes, I bring the police about incidents on the road and stuff like that there.
I mean, so that's an argument for motors having no insurance and no number plates and everything.
I have my own insurance as well on the road. I cycle when I can, and I drive. I pay my insurance. I pay my vehicle tax. All that crack as well, but I still use the road when I can as a pedestrian. So, you know, you get idiots in every walk of life. You just have to be more aware, and I have to be more aware when I'm driving. I go nearly, nearly go to the opposite side of the road when I come across a cyclist. Because I've been there. And that's when you are literally going, this is going to end bad.
Okay. Thank you very much. Barney, next. Good morning, Barney.
Yeah, Vinny. I just want to pick up on a couple of different points. I see it from a couple of different perspectives. I'm a commercial vehicle driver.
Okay.
Maybe all around Ireland and the UK.
Do you drive lorries or vans or what do you drive?
Yeah, both. From road trains right down to vans. And I'm also a member of a local road cycling club in the Maiden City and an off-road club. Now, just to clarify, if you think you were saying between Ramblestown and Antrim, that cycle lane, you see guys on the road.
Yes.
There's multiple disciplines within cycling. For example, if I'm on a road bike, I might not want to go on the cycle lane or that particular one. I know it myself. Might be grip, glass and everything that a lot of off-road cyclists use. Now, in terms of the man on there from Derry about, you know, I agree there's a lot of cyclists got on side and they make bad judgment mistakes. But now, when we're a member of a road cycling club, for one, I can't speak for everybody. We have to be insured to be in the peloton and basically cycle within our club. So we've got insurance to be on the road and cycle as a group. And then people, all sorts of things getting mentioned, like tax. There's no such thing as road tax. It's vehicle excise duty based on the emissions that a vehicle puts out. Now, apart from the obvious, no cyclist puts out emissions. Now, so we go from variations of that. Now, from a commercial vehicle driver's point of view, there are some bad mistakes, maybe cyclists. I'll give it that. People coming up the inside and everything else. But the amount of close passes I see recently on the road and we're out every week is shocking. And I mean shocking. I've been clipped on my arm. I have had literally millimetres away, and then you're trying to move over quickly.
Yeah.
And then they try and dispel the argument about, oh, them guys are cycling four abreast. I can guarantee, you know, the boys within our club, for one, and most other clubs around, there's a captain within the club who constantly gives off to whoever's not on line.
Yeah, but it does happen, Barney. I know it's only one element, but that does happen.
Oh, it does, Barney, but one thing I just want to explain here. If you're sitting in a car to the right-hand side of a peloton of cyclists, for example, and you look across, it looks as if they're four abreast and possibly sometimes more. Because you're not directly in behind the peloton and you can't see down the two lines. That's one side of the argument. The other side is, you know, for example, if I'm on my car or lorry or van, and I also ride a motorcycle, if I'm on any one of those vehicles and I come up behind a tractor along the A5, for example, and everything's slowed down, or if I come up behind a couple of horse riders, you slow down, you go, God, them horses are lovely, let's take my time, safely overtake them. And the same with an agricultural vehicle. I mean, you don't start getting all pepped up and angry and start, you know.
Yeah, you don't, Barney, but you know that many people do. I'm not saying it's right, but many people do get frustrated if they get stuck behind a cyclist or indeed a tractor on the road, if they're in a rush. And some people, I guess some motorists do feel like they have maybe priority on the road, and that's why they get frustrated with other people using, you know, for example, their push bike.
Yeah. See, there's multiple disciplines within cycling as well. Not any people that aren't involved in cycling wouldn't sort of realise this. There's everything from mountain biking to road cycling to this, that, and the other. And there's multiple uses. For people who go on the road with a bicycle, people who go on the cycle path, there's people out with their families. So there's different elements within that. And the infrastructure is simply not there. Although, where we are based in North West, we have a great cycling network.
Yeah.
But it needs to be further and further. There needs to be more done in terms of, for example, on the road element of it, you know, like on our neighbours in the continent, you know, where...
Yeah, but when we talk about infrastructure, Malachy O'Doherty, then basically that means money. And then that's where people say, well, where are you going to get the cash from? Everything is stretched. We talk about the health service, education. So are we saying take money away from the likes of that to put in cycle lanes, to put in better infrastructure?
Well, there is a growing infrastructure. I mean, it's a bit patchy at the moment, but there's been great work by Northern Ireland Greenways, for instance, campaigning for the opening up of old railway tracks and stuff to make greenways. In some parts of the country, that's already been done, you know, certainly over in the west of Ireland. We've got the Cumber Greenway extended right up towards the Titanic Quarter now and the greenway around Conswater. So, I mean, a lot of that is improving. When I go into town, very often most times, just for the pleasure of it, I go along the Laggan rather than down the Ormer Road, you know, if I'm not in too much of a hurry. So there is a growing Sustrans, you know, has been campaigning and organising to get cycle lanes. Some of them are not very good. I mean, there's some cycle lanes down the Ormer Road that actually go on the footpath itself. There are some, you know, there's one in Park Road, which is particularly strange because drivers coming out of the rubbish to the recycling depot there, you know, don't seem to notice cyclists, and I've had a few near misses there. But it is getting better, and I mean, the future is on the side of the cyclist. It's not on the side of the motorist. With the constraints on motoring and the constraints on carbon fuel and so on, the future is not with the motorist, it is with the cyclist. I was struck by what Tom said when he said that he'd brought evidence on his cameras to the police.
Yeah, well, for that particular case, we'll ask the PSNI just to see what their side of that story is.